welcome to the Thursday night broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Praise you, Lord, that we can come to you as we are, Lord. And that you can create in us a clean heart, Lord, and renew a right spirit within us. We ask you to do so. May your word go forth. May we have ears to hear and receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let God arise. Page 83. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. So, I was reading in Matthew. It just jumped to Chronicles. Let me find Matthew again. Paul was actually brought up the scripture a few weeks ago about the centurion, and I was reading in Matthew and came across it, and actually found a couple things in the same chapter that I thought were pretty cool, and I'm going to go there. It's Matthew 8:5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, they came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And what is striking to me about this centurion is that he was walking by faith and not by sight. And I know for myself, everything in the natural wants to go by sight, not by faith, to see the situation around me and how awful or how impossible it looks. And then there's a spiral after that because my eyes are completely off the Lord. And here he went to the Lord. I mean, the Lord says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. This man had a care. He had a servant that was sick. And he brought it to the Lord with an expectation for the Lord to move and to heal. He didn't even have to see it. He just said, speak it only. And then I was reading further down and came upon just a few verses down. It's in 23. This is with the disciples when they were in the ship. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? You have the centurion who's walking by faith and not by sight, and you have this instant with the disciples where, frankly, all they could see was the storm, which I can really relate to. You know, all I can see is the storm. But what I also saw in this was, yeah, they were kind of spazzing out. We're going to die. But in the midst of that, even though they weren't in the best of place because their eye was on the situation, who did they turn to in the midst of it? They still came to him. They say, Lord, they awoke him. Lord, save us. And you see where Jesus, he did rebuke him. He told him the truth. He pointed out their unbelief. But they did turn to him in the midst of the storm, even though their eyes had gotten, they'd just gotten themselves so worked up. And they didn't have to, but they did. But what did he do? He rebuked them. He told them the truth. He pointed out where they were. But what did he do after that? He calmed the storm. And he didn't say, I'm done with you. I don't want anything to do with you. Or any of that. No. He calmed the storm. And I know for myself, I can find myself in the storm and my eyes can quickly move off of the Lord and what he's able to do and to become completely overwhelmed in this situation. I'm a little more familiar with that than I would like to admit. But the truth of the matter is there is nothing too big for our God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is a healer. He is a redeemer. He raises people from the dead. He can save a wretch like us because he is good. And when we do find ourselves in that situation, because I'm pretty sure every single one of us are familiar with, probably more familiar with the disciple situation here, he's not there to beat us up. Humble yourself. Lord, forgive me. I took my eyes off you. I got myself in a world of mess. I'm all worked up. And when I get all worked up like that, I can make a mess of a situation in a heartbeat. Lord, help me. Forgive me. Fix this situation. Fix me. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. I mean, it says without faith, it is impossible to please him. I really want to be like the centurion here, where regardless of the situation, I come to the Lord, I cast that care upon him, and I walk forward expecting him to move. I don't have to see it. I don't have to know what it's going to look like, but I can walk forward marching forward because I know that he's victorious. I know he's going to handle it. That's what I want to be like. Because he is victorious. He is good. And it doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter whether it's sickness, illness. Linda's out there. Her house has been flooded. There's construction going on. There's all kind of things that aren't going as planned. It doesn't matter. Philip talks repeatedly about Joshua and Caleb. They didn't look at the giants and go, oh, crap. Maybe we'll try this on a different day. No. This land is for the taking. God said it. I believe it. I'm going forward. I'm not even going to look at what's going on around me. I'm going to keep my eyes on him and move forward because he is already victorious. There is nothing too big for him, even me. Because sometimes it's not even an outward situation going on. It's just looking at myself and how big of a wretch I am. And sometimes I can't believe that God would love a sinner like me. Bull crap. It says, come, now is the time to worship. Come as you are to worship. Come as you are before your God. Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. He came to free us from bondage. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Lord comes that we may have life and life abundantly to free us from all of those things. His hand is out. He is here right now. Cast your care upon him because he does care for you. Create in me a clean heart.
Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Pass me not away. a clean heart. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me, oh, the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away. Cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within.
Hello, is this thing working? I don't have anywhere to put it. This shirt doesn't have a pocket in it. Well, first things first. Can you believe that the odds makers have our boys at 7-point underdogs Monday night? Just because it's Alabama. That's terrible. Let's see. The Centurion was something that all of the Jews around would have taken umbrage at him, saying, I have not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel. Because he put it that way, he's a Gentile. He's not one of the chosen. And that's just about as high a recommendation as Jesus can make. He understood how it worked. He had tried to teach that to his disciples. And that's why he upbraided them for their lack of faith. If they had faith, they could have calmed the storm. There's every reason to believe the centurion would have. Just really humbling matter. All right, let's see where I'm going to start with this thing. That's what the pause has been. Let's start in 1:14, Colossians. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That would be in Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist or hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. I thought the body was the bride. Oh, well. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath now he reconciled. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. As we say so many times in this body, it's not about you, it's not about what you do. Was about him and what he has done and is finished. He did it. And he could, after it was finished, he could put back on the divinity that he was designed to carry, all the fullness of. And this is exactly how he did it and what he's done for us. Really just a book chock full of truth. Makes me feel all warm and fuzzy every time I read it. I'm done. I knew this was going to be nothing to write home about.
You laid aside your majesty, page 122.
Gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you had created. You took all my guilt and shame when you died and rose again. Now today you reign in heaven and earth exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have paid the price and I am yours. Forever and ever I will serve you. You're the only one who died for me, gave your life to set me free. So I lift my voice to you in celebration. You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you had created. You took all my guilt and shame. day when you died and rose again. Now today you reign in heaven and earth exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have paid the price and I am yours. Forever and ever I will serve you. You're the only one who died for me, gave your life to set me free. So I lift my voice to you in celebration.
Love my Lord. I wanna know, yes, I wanna know up and shout it if you love my Jesus. Stand up and shout it if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know if you love my Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I will run through a troop and leave over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will run through a troop and leave over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now there is no condemnation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. I will run through a troop and leave over a wall. I will run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now there is no condemnation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. I will run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more time. I will run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. I will run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.